close the door and leave it open at the same time. You and I both know that holding on can take a while. All right. So, we're going to talk about unity as in family unity. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about unity in the church and how, you know, it's kind of quite the opposite of what we think it is to keep the unity intact. And that's not push away other believers that don't line up exactly like you do theologically. Remember this, I mean, and this is our criteria. Do you have to have all your ducks in a row when you come to Christ? I mean, do you have to understand the whole thing? I mean, I came in second grade. Did I understand the whole thing when I came to Christ? No. So it's follows beyond that too, that that the only dividing line that we have is that Christ came, died for sinners, rose again, and that's what we believe. So today we're going to talk about unity family-wise, and it is, just like yesterday, quite the opposite of what we think it should be, because, you know, I'm from the background where, and this is how I started my parenting, was, you know, my way or the highway, and that's how I procured peace, that's how I procured order in my house, that's how I procured my agenda concerning my kids. And I want to present this, and I don't want you to already turn this off. I want you to not go right or left, because I think if you follow me a little bit, you're gonna maybe recall, that makes more sense. And I'm going to show you in scripture, how, Jesus parents, I mean, you're raising the perfect child. I mean, how cool would that be? I mean, we'd have no more problems, right? But apparently it still came with miscommunication and misunderstanding and difficulty. You'd think it would just be a free ride. We don't have to worry about anything. I don't even have to tell him to clean his room. It's already clean. It would just be awesome, right? Apparently it's not as easy as we thought it was. So let's start here. We're in Luke 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Like, I don't know what bothers, I mean, lingering. That's a main topic in my house. Please get up, get dressed, brush your teeth. 20 minutes later, we're still getting out of bed. Lingering is a huge topic in our house, and it irks me to no end. Like, how long does it take, really, to get some socks on? How long? Seriously. So Jesus lingers behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Okay, how many of you? Like the other day, the plan was for him to get picked up by his dad instead of taking the bus home. And it's a long day, and so we do that for him. We try to pick him up. We'll pick him up on the long days, or at least one of the long days, so that he's not getting home at close to 5. And so next thing you know, my son's at a friend's house, and he's like, "Hey, I'm over here." And I totally freaked out. That was not the plan. That is not what we told you to do. And here I had in my mind that he just left his dad in the dust and in the parking lot and went over to his friend's house. And so I'm on the phone. I'm like, "Keen, you shouldn't have done this. You should have waited for your dad. And And my friend Sherry, she's trying to like, wait. She's trying to keep me calm. And, you know, we hung up the phone. Well, I missed a nuance. And so let me keep reading here. But supposing him to have been in the company, they traveled in groups. Raising kids was a group effort. Now, we'll get into that. No, I mean, don't go left or right here. It was a group effort. I mean, you live with your parents. You live with extended family. It wasn't just you raising these kids. They went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Why? The angst, the anger, the fear. A couple days ago, I thought we lost. I mean, it's just a rabbit. But it's my rabbit, okay? And I was grieving. Grieving is hard work. I was looking for her over here, looking for her. She came back. Somebody had picked her up and put her in their cage. Thank God. But all morning, I was walking here, walking there, looking for her, hoping I wasn't going to find tufts of fur somewhere. I mean, I was grieving, and grieving is hard work. Fear is hard work. Why did you do this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Yeah, you know what? Jesus, if I were there, I'd, in all my arrogant self, I'd been, okay, pick me, hand raised. Y'all don't remember how he came, apparently, because it wasn't a normal thing, right? When did it escape you that he wasn't going to do normal things? See, we as parents, we start thinking that they're going to be like us. They're going to think like us. They're going to do the same similar things. We're going to be leading them into places they would go that would be more akin to what we would do. But I want to submit, if you want unity with your child, you're going to have to accept the nuances, their perspective. See, I tried it. I tried it hard line. No. No, I said, no, that's it, done. Not accepting nuances. And my first one just drove him to frustration. First of all, I had no idea he's undiagnosed. Probably Asperger's or autism. And so I didn't know that he didn't even understand. Like, he was not able to pull out from his surroundings and all the input that's coming in what it was that was important for him to do at that moment. And so all of a sudden he was in trouble. I did not accept the nuance. And I drove him away. I did not accept his perspective. Now, I'm not saying that your child's perspective rules the end of the day. At the end of the day, I'm saying that if you want unity, you accept viewpoints, even if you don't understand them. Even if it hasn't hit you yet. Like Mary at the foot of the cross, it hit her what this was all about. Probably before that. Don't get so wrapped up in parenting, quote unquote, that you forget this is God's child. This child is his. He has a plan for this child that may look nothing like yours. You know what happens when we accept, we listen to their viewpoint? We can sort of get an idea. We can prepare ourselves. And either you're going to raise a child that goes off the rails at 18 because you accepted none of the nuances, none of their differing perspectives. You accepted none of them. Or you are going to be able to prepare them for what it is God wants them to do. And me, that is way more hopeful. That is way more exciting than me making another mini-me. Molding another mini-me. There's already me on this earth. We don't need another one. We don't. I want God to mold my child. And so Jesus went back, because at the end of the day, they don't rule the house, right? There are things that need to get done. And I hate chaos. That's my thing. You know, if you want a chaotic life when you're out of this house, fine, go for it. I can't think in chaos. Neither can my oldest son. I can't navigate it. I mean, by God's grace, it's not what I choose. And there are styles and there are ways that I initiate that hopefully are not the fall line. Hopefully, they're not the only thing my child thinks of when he thinks of how, well, all I can remember is what I could not do and what I could do. Oh God, please don't let it be that in my kids' lives. Not what I could do, what I could not do. But who I was pointed toward. Because unity with Christ is going to equal unity with me if I'm aimed at Christ. And you can't do this dishonestly with duplicity, like in the last podcast. Just going through the motions. Well, mom told me to do it. I think they should do what you said to do, whether or not they like it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, who are you pointing at? There are things to get done, yes. But ultimately, where is your heart to cling to them? Like Jesus' parents. They were clinging to him. They were anxious about him. They were looking for him. Just, where is he? And Jesus said, why do you seek me? And I think there are two reasons. Why? Are you seeking me for my good? Or for your peace of mind? And that's what we could really reflect on. Am I seeking out my child because of their good? Or my sense of control, my angst, my fleshly desires? Then he went down with them because he submitted. Ultimately, you lead your kids to submission, because submission is the only way you can walk with Christ anyway. Yes, and when I found out that actually with Keen that they had communicated, he and his dad had communicated, and his dad was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be late," and Keen got cold and went to his friend's house. Then the whole thing shifted, and I had to apologize, and I had to tell him, "You were right. You know, you're cold. Go to somebody's house." But tomorrow, let's stick to the plan. Let's do what we said we're going to do. He went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with who?
Something that might heal Unify you on the God. Inside.
Peace out.